Flawcast, episode 185, The Consequences of Tolerance. If you build the guts to do something, anything, then you better have enough to face the consequences. Chris Jamie.
Flawcast, get in the arena.
All right, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, all of our esteemed Flawcast Nation, Flawcast listeners. Want to welcome and thank you all for tuning in for another week. Right off the bat, hey, I appreciate all the feedback from last week's episode, and it's awesome. So whenever I fly solo, I feel like I'm going without a net, and it's like, oh man, where am I going with this? But I appreciate the love and the feedback. And one other thing I appreciate is that Carl is with us this week. Mr. Tuckerson, how goes it?
Mr. William, it goes well. It's so good to be back, and you know, because I told you, I felt like you did a wonderful job on the last podcast with that topic matter, so I was proud that you didn't crash and burn without me.
Good job. It was not an easy task.
No.
And I edited a lot, so.
Well, that helps.
But anyway, I'm glad you're back. I'm excited for this episode, and we're going to get into it in a minute. But we got to do the shake and howdy, so we're asking you guys to share. And I just don't want this to fall on deaf ears. This is crucial. If you get any benefit, if you gain any knowledge, if you get any kind of a blessing from what we have been given to give you guys, please share. Copy that link. Share it on your social media. Just send a text, whatever, because we really value the community that we are being able to create, and we're just so thankful for it, and we want to bring others into that. So please share. You can find us anywhere podcasts are under Flawcast CLE. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Anchor, Breaker.fm. You can find us on the You can find us on the video platform Rumble under Flawed Inc. You can also find us on the Project Mockingbird social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're also under Gab and Getter, all under Flawed Inc. There is a link in the description to pick up a copy of my book, Smith's Heart of Man Repair Manual. There is plenty of copies laying around somewhere that I'd love to be able to get into your hands if you need it, which I believe you need it. And our email is flawedincle@gmail.com. And with that being said, Carl, it's your second favorite time of the episode.
All right, everyone, take your right hand, place it over your left heart, repeat after us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So one of the really cool things that we've been able to do this year is build each episode on the last. So if you haven't heard our last 3 to 4 episodes, I believe in order for you to get the weight of this, it would serve you well to hear what we believe God's given us through so far. And especially this last week's that Carl so graciously complimented me on, and I just want to thank God for bearing with me. But so it's important to understand what Carl's going to bring forth in this episode that you go back to that last episode, because it is a foundation. It is bedrock, if you will, for what we're going to be getting into here. So Mr. Tuckerson, grip it and rip it.
Mr. William, I think the uniqueness of this podcast is that we struggle together with the listeners.
Yeah.
And that's a unique thing. It's not like there's any point to prove. It's not like there's any crowd to catch. It's not like there's any trick. It's literally a podcast where the people that listen with us and they're committed to it, they're going to struggle with us. They're going to grow with us. They're going to learn with us. It's like organically building block on top of building block, going in a certain direction that I figured out looking back at the podcast, not projecting forward, if that makes sense. It's like not our plan. It's not right. our direction. But you can see that just by being faithful every day, being committed every day, doing the best we can every day, trusting God, listening to God, growing in God, getting in His Word, studying to show yourself approved, there literally seems to be a foundation that has been built, and it's just going on top of each other, each podcast. And we're doing it together mm-hmm. with the listeners. And so it is important that they go back. It is important that they listen, because certainly you and I together, collectively, putting our brains together, we're not, I don't feel we're able to project months in advance the direction that we want our podcast to go.
Right.
But it's going in a direction that I feel pleases God. And that's really what it's all about.
Well, I mean, that's our primary goal. I mean, if I had my druthers, we would have been way deep into my conspiracy theory, sure. political rants this year. But,
absolutely.
But something I know God spoke to you and I individually at the beginning of this year is, all this stuff's going to happen, and even craziness that we're going to talk about mm-hmm. since last week has happened. But focusing on Christ and trying to make it about what is best according to Him, according to His Word, is just, I believe that trek that we're on. And I love too. How you worded that. That everybody's kind of going along with us, you know?
Yeah.
We have no idea, you know?
Right. They're in it with us. We're doing it together. And this podcast is going to be a real eye-opener to those that listen that may not know how a podcast is shaped, formed, or put together, because I have no notes. And generally, you and I have quite a few scriptures, an article or a few to prove a point and prove a direction or to show a cause of topic. In this podcast, I felt like we should just be two guys sitting at the world headquarters going back and forth with each other about what concerns us. Because I truly have topics, like you had said, about the conspiracies and all that. I have topics that to me would be interesting or in my wheelhouse that I could just really do a phenomenal job. But I've entered this lifestyle now where it's all about God. It's not just saying that.
No, that's good.
Right? It's not about us.
Right.
And so what does that mean? An example of what that means is, God, what is offending you? God, what is troubling you? Not troubling like He's worried, but more like, vexing. I know He has righteous indignation.
What's vexing Him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I want what troubles Him to trouble me. I want what He's concerned about to be what I'm concerned about. I want what He sees to be what I see, the way He sees it. I want to go there, be that voice, and hopefully, Mr. William, my prayer is that there's a community that develops and that we unite together and develop the mentality that says, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to respond? And if you start asking these questions about any topic matter, about any problem, about anything that we may not even know is a problem, but when we start seeing things through His vision and we start walking away from the temporal in this world and start focusing on the eternal and our spirit, things look differently. Things concern me differently that I may not have been concerned about, right? And so your podcast last week that you did was spot on about the topic of tolerance, accepting, being silent, being inactive against, right? It's just allowing. And I want to talk about why is that dangerous and where is that going to lead? And I think the number one thing that I want to bring to the mind of the people that are listening is that when you are allowing or tolerating evil to dominate, evil to reign, evil to speak uncontested. And then you think it's because you're trying to keep the peace, because you're trying to not judge, because you're trying to not offend. It's a trick of the devil. Those are deceptive thoughts, deceptive lies, deceptive tactics that the devil will use. And I had mentioned to you even earlier that there is a verse that was brought to my attention in prayer, one of the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called the sons of God. And so then in the name of keeping the peace and not offending and not troubling, we remain silent. And what the danger is in not proclaiming God's word or not speaking the truths of God's word is that you cannot coexist with evil. Light and dark cannot coexist. Evil and good cannot coexist. The devil and sons and daughters of God cannot coexist. And when we think that we are coexisting and we think that we are not offending and we're trying to keep the peace, that doesn't satisfy the devil. He is never satisfied. The ultimate goal, Mr. William, isn't that a certain group of people, like, say, a transgender, a lesbian, a homosexual. The goal of Satan isn't that these people can say what they want to say and not have any obstacle put in their way. Satan's ultimate goal is for absolute total annihilation of us, total destruction of us, of children of God. That is his ultimate goal. And when we remain silent, and we don't proclaim God's word, and we don't preach God's word, and we don't share God's word, and we don't live God's word, and we accept the things that are around us that are disguised in organizations, institutions, they're disguised in groups, they're disguised in politics as a certain side of the aisle or a certain movement. And it is nothing more, Mr. William, than the spirit of the Antichrist that is coming to set up a system and to destroy and annihilate and kill Christians that confess Jesus. And so the tolerance topic, somebody may say, well, you know, Carl, that's drastic. No, it's not drastic. It's Bible. See, I'm entering into this area where if what I say is true, if what I say is God's word, of course, in today's society, it's going to be called drastic. It's going to be called radical because it's God's word and it's truth and it's penetrating the darkness and the evil. So what I'm saying is not radical. It's scriptural.
You know, so just as a point of reference, that's Matthew 5, verse 9, where he says, blessed are the peacemakers. It's important to know your scriptures for this particular reason, because this always reminds me of in Exodus, where he says, thou shalt not murder. That's what the scriptures say, but people say, oh no, it's thou shalt not kill. Mm-hmm. There is a blatant difference between killing and murdering. Much like in this regard, there is a big, big difference between being a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. Not to plug my book, but I have a whole chapter. It's called Warrior Mentality, and it talks about being a peacemaker versus a peacekeeper. I mean, Sam Colt, one of the most famous gun designers, the gun that won the West was called the what?
The Colt.
The Colt Peacemaker.
The Colt Peacemaker.
The Colt Peacemaker.
I thought you meant the line of gun. No, the Colt Peacemaker.
The Peacemaker,
right.
Yeah. And so there is something within conservatives or, you know, what libertarians, Christian, whatever you want to label people, that we have this ability, a lot of us, to look back and get really disgusted with things that are happening. And what I want to say to people is that's awesome. But just sitting there at the water cooler with your buddies and not taking action respectfully falls in line with that peacekeeping. What we need to understand is that the kingdom of darkness, which you very eloquently put, is manipulating, is controlling, is maneuvering things. And we see a escalation, and most churches aren't going to talk about this. And I have many friends who are pastors, and I love them, but the affordability that we have in this podcast is to be able to say these things. And it doesn't mean that they don't believe it or they don't see it. It's their purview is different because we are speaking to a very specialized listener. Like when you look at our demographics, whether it be on Facebook, whether it be on Apple, whether it be on Rumble, what, you know, Spotify, whatever the case may be, when you look at our demographics, it's a very specific type of person that listens to our podcast. And I believe they're people like us. And that's why we want people to share, because the exchange of ideas is what causes the kingdom of light to war or to make peace against the kingdom of the darkness. So what you're talking about, the idea of tolerance, you know, the specificity of tolerating sin in our pulpits. There are so many churches in America right now. The majority of churches either don't preach or don't believe in hell. Well, God's a loving God. He would never send anybody there. No, that is contrary to what the scripture said. As a matter of fact, Christ himself talked more about hell than he did about heaven. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And what does that teach us as a follower? It teaches us the same thing that where Jesus talks about the kingdom of God 128 times in the gospel, but he only mentions the church 3 times. Mm-hmm. There is a perspective shift that needs to occur. And within that shift, it needs to align first with the scriptures and Holy Spirit. But then there is an action. There is a verb, which, you know, for our English nerds out there, a verb is a word that displays or shows action. Mm-hmm. And we're at, I believe, a point where action is definitely necessary. You know, as we're recording this, this is the Holy Week.
Right.
So on a Good Friday is probably when a lot of you will be receiving this.
Yeah.
And the idea of thinking about what Christ endured in body in our place is such a haunting revelation. But he did not do that so people could get up on a Sunday morning and hear a motivational speaker tell them how they don't suck, how there's this spiritual Santa Claus that's going to bless them with, you know, a new Rolls Royce with a, you know, 24 karat gold hood ornament, and they're going to be wearing $5,000 sneakers, and you know, this and this and this. It's a false gospel by false teachers. And that understanding, I've heard 3 messages from the last time I recorded till today, of 3 messages from people that I really value about false prophets and about false teachers. So at that point, I'm like, okay, God, you're trying to tell me something. Either I am one, or I need to be aware or need to speak out about it. But we're in this place where if you're in a church, and once again, it's the idea of tolerating sin, okay, for I'm about to say, it's going to be ouchy. If you're in a church that the tolerance of sin is more spoken of and more taught than the red letters throughout the Gospels, you need to pray to God, to Christ, and ask, why am I here? What is the thing holding me here? What do you have for me? Because I guarantee when you start inquiring those things and you start asking God those questions, he's going to reveal to you that you're either there to stir the pot to be a peacemaker, or you have been hoodwinked and you are in the presence and sitting under a false prophet, a false teacher, and you need to remove yourself from that situation. And this is the season that we're in.
Yeah. Denying where we are is one of the things that will allow tolerance to keep growing. Putting your head under the sand, saying this also, well, I can't make a difference. Let somebody else do it. And this is something that God's been really touching my mind with.
I mean, we've just done 2 episodes about that in the last month.
I know.
I struggle with that every damn day of my life.
You know what, Mr. William, here's what it really boils down to. It is not my job to make a difference. It is my job to please God. It is my job to honor God. It is my job to serve God. It is my job to declare, thus says the Lord. It is not my job to impact the world. That is left up to the Holy Spirit. But he has to have a voice. He has to have a mouthpiece. He has to, would have ever there been a fiery furnace miracle if somebody wouldn't have took a stand? No. Would there have ever been that miracle in Daniel's lion's den if somebody wouldn't have took a stand? No. God is able to and desiring to and will do great and mighty things. I think, let me get back to where I was. God leading me to say, you need to study more. You need to learn more. You need to pay much closer attention to your spirit, man. You need to focus more on eternal things. And why? Because you just made reference to the false teachers and the false prophets and the false teachings. It is so easy if you know the Bible and if you are charismatic to step into an area that leaves anointing and go into manipulation. There is a very fine line between anointing and manipulation. Manipulation, the Bible calls, as it is the sin of witchcraft. And the reason, and the comparison to that, Mr. William, is they literally give the picture of the voodoo doll that is under the control of the voodoo doctor that can stick a pin in it and cause pain to someone else. Anointing is all about God. Manipulation is all about man. And there's a very fine line between praying and giving your heart to Jesus and studying his word and having desire for souls to be saved and building the kingdom of God and establishing his precepts. And then walking away from that in pursuing the things this world has to give you. And let me explain the danger of that in the times that we're in. When you quote scriptures like God has called you to be the first and not the last, you are the apple of his eye. You can ask anything in my name and believing. You're highly blessed. You're blessed above all. The focus can shift from what those scriptures are talking about, which is eternity, your spirit man, into a bigger house, a bigger car, that you want to be blessed. You see all these athletes that have these mansions, but as a child of God, you are first above him. You need a bigger mansion. You see all these people with all this gold that they wear, and you say, well, God says you're the apple of his eye. So if you just give me a tithe offering, or if you just proclaim it, or give a gift expecting, you're going to have rich abundances. But how about the scriptures that say that don't think it's strange when tribulation comes upon you? How about when Jesus tells his disciples, the world is going to hate you. The world hated me, and because you love me, they will hate you. How about all of these promises in the Word of God from Jesus himself and the prophets of God that talk a contradictory message on this earth? When he's talking about blessings and I will give unto the Lord and I will, what is the scripture? But pressed down, shaken together.
Running over.
Yes. We're talking about spirit man.
We're spirit talking about man. Intangible things. Jesus himself said, foxes have homes, birds of the air have places to go, but the Son of Man has nothing. If you read the description of Christ in Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrow, well acquainted with grief. Yeah. This, and back to your point with the idea of the prophets, which one of them didn't they kill?
Well, I mean, Elisha was taken up in a whirlwind.
Right, but
so he didn't get killed.
Right, but
other than that,
right, which of the apostles?
One.
Other than John, who was boiled to death.
Yeah.
So what I want to say is that the idea of when we begin to not be tolerant of sin, and this is where I want to really draw the line, because if you're struggling with something and I'm saying, Carl, I'm not going to tolerate you anymore, that isn't what the scripture is saying.
Not at all.
What that response would be is like, Bill, I hear what you're saying, but you're wrong. this is this and this, and to blow it off and to proclaim the things you are, yet living a life that is contrary. And once again, it's the idea of tolerating sin. And the idea of this episode is the consequences thereof. And if you read in Revelation verse 2 from last week, we see that with Jezebel, just for example, that he's going to put her on a bed of sickness, that her children, which are her followers, because in that portion I use, go back and read or go back and listen, she claimed to be a prophetess, a false teacher, a false prophet to the church of Thyatira. And this is a church who, to reiterate, were known of Christ for their love, for their faith, and enduring hardships.
Right.
Yet I have this against you. You tolerated Jezebel.
Yep.
We understand that when, and we've spoken many times that when you look at the impact that Ahab and Jezebel had on Israel at the time of Elijah, that we see the introduction of Baal worship, we see the introduction of paganism, we see the introduction of cannibalism, we see the introduction of pedophilism, we see the introduction of things that we are now witnessing on our evening news. Might it be that we claim to have faith, we claim to have love in the regards of tolerance, yet we have not endured things. And I'm not saying individually, because you've gone through stuff, I've gone through, we've all had stuff, right? What I really mean is that when we have drag queens in our pulpits, when we have false prophets manipulating the word of God to steal the widow's mites, when we have the picking and choosing of God's word to satisfy the itching ears, which Paul talks to Timothy about, the question is, we've tolerated it, and might the we've tolerated this falseness, we've tolerated this antichrist, this anti-gospel teaching. So what might the consequences of these things be, Carl? Are we seeing them now?
The beginning, but we know what the consequences are by just simply reading and understanding prophetic messages, and especially Revelation. And that is this: right now, Christians may think that the devil is satisfied because on evening news and every other media outlet, we're seeing alternative lifestyles promoted, and we're seeing the regular heterosexual lifestyle being demoted and criticized for just living that way, let alone talking about the benefits of it, okay? But the ultimate goal, really, of Satan isn't for us to just stand by and let it happen. The ultimate goal, and it's going to happen, is that Christians are going to have to make a decision, because they're going to have to literally, in their commitment to God, speak and proclaim their relationship to God and their commitment to God. And inevitably, and I don't think not long from now, it will end up costing them their life, because Satan's goal is to have so-called Christians not just accept all these other lifestyles that are happening, but he wants to hear you proclaim it out of your mouth. He wants to have you be forced to not just tolerate it, but now endorse it. And don't just endorse it by becoming complicit, but now be my mouthpiece. I want to force you to speak it, because it's never satisfied. He is never satisfied.
And the next level of that is participation.
That is exactly right. And in the end, leading for you having to, because why? Because a lot of people are trapped in a financial system where if they don't, and they'll say this, nobody's going to know that I don't mean it or I do. So if I say it, I can keep my job and keep feeding my family. If I say it, I can keep my electric on and I can keep people warm. And you may say, well, Carl, you're crazy. Oh, really? How about talking to the doctors in New York that wouldn't put a mask on? And after all of the schooling, all of the years of hard work to work their way up the ladder, that meant nothing. They wouldn't put a mask on and they lost their job. And they tried to freeze them out of the economic system that we live in and destroy them. How about that? That was just the tip of the iceberg. We're going to pay an ultimate price if Christians don't start proclaiming God's word. And to proclaim God's word, and like I said, I'm being propelled that I must learn God's word. Because I will be honest with you, I feel inadequate to take on the insulated, organized layer upon layer, a layer of evil that appears to be winning and in all areas of authority and power. And it's a lie. The devil is nothing but a liar. He's a deceiver and he's a trickster. And we have covered a whole podcast about how Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and said, "You are sons of Satan, who is a liar and the father of all lies, and there is no truth found in him." And it is all these forms of deception and intimidation and fear and anxiety and lies that are constantly bombarding us, and we have to fight that off with the Word of God. I feel like that is why God is saying you need to study more, you need to read more, you need to pray more, you need to guard your mind more, because we are entering into an era for true born-again Christians that we have never seen in this country, where professing Christianity, confessing Jesus, preaching the gospel, being truthful, literally very soon will cost you your life. That is it. That is where this leads.
As you were saying this, a couple things came to my mind. The first thing is, there was this movie, Kingdom of Heaven. Orlando Bloom was in it, and it was about the Crusades. He's a French crusader. They're in Jerusalem. They're surrounded in the castle by Saladin, who was an actual Muslim leader at that time. And one of the priests who was getting ready to bless the small rabble of knights that were left over turned to him, Orlando Bloom, and he's like, "Embrace Islam, repent later."
Yeah.
And what you're saying is that quantified. I can get away with, I'll say, yeah, I embrace this now, but my heart isn't in that.
Right.
See, here's the thing that we need to recognize, and this is going to be controversial. The reason why I believe God's impressing on you to share with all of us that you need to know his word, that we need to know his word, is simply this. If you don't know the real McCoy, you cannot find a Fugazi.
That is correct.
And what we see right now are so many false teachers and false prophets in the place where they are seemingly doing good. They're right. Seemingly giving money to the poor. They're seemingly miracle signs and wonders. And you see them praying to Jesus. And if you are involved in any kind of ministry, and this is my question, what Jesus are they praying to? Is it the Jesus of the Bible? Is it the Jesus that, as we are in Holy Week, hung on the cross, that endured the 39 stripes with a cat of nine tails and bore the crown of thorns and carried his cross up a Golgotha's hill and died a miserable, horrible death and then rose 3 days later? Or is it Santa Claus Jesus? Mm-hmm. Is it the Jesus of the drag queens? Mm. Is it the Jesus of the pedophiles? Is it the Jesus of the New World Order? Is it the Jesus of the devil? Mm-hmm. And these are controversial things, but I feel, Carl, that it is better for us to offend in a spirit of love now than when it comes down the pipe to these real moments in history that we're soon going to have to face. When I think about the things that will happen, I don't believe in a pre-trib rapture. I don't see that in the scripture, because the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs that we're talking about is found all throughout the book of Revelation and all the eschatological writings. So there's that. Have at it. But my point being is that, you remember that show 24 with Kiefer Sutherland? Yes. He played Jack. And one of the things that used to just get me and get people was, he's interrogating these people. I remember there was one scene where he literally shoved a towel down somebody's esophagus and it had started to dissolve, and he started to pull it out. the reality of it is that there is nothing that the devil will not do to our physical bodies, to the physical bodies of our loved ones, to our spouses, to our dogs, to our children, to our neighbors. There is nothing, there is no holds barred. The more depraved, the more evil, the more sick, the more he gets off on it, and the more his children, like when Christ was talking to the church of Thyatira in Revelation 2, the children of Jezebel, the more they derive spiritual power from it. And that's a real thing. And years and years and years ago, I dated somebody who was a witch. I didn't know at the time. But she would tell me how her coven would get together, and whenever Marilyn Manson would put a new album out, they would pray and fast that it would go out there and attract and bring in people to their kingdom. That when these things that were movies, they would come out, they would have their little get-togethers and pray and fast that these the spiritual wickedness in high places would take as many captives into that kingdom as they could. And you know, we never really told a lot of stories, but with things we've seen, you know, but there was a gentleman who, when I first got saved, was a musician. He was in a coven, and his testimony was that his coven went a far, far back of woods to perform a ritual. And he's like, "Hey, what are we going to sacrifice?" And they said, "You." They tied him up. And he said, "Jesus, if you get me out of this, I'll serve you till the day I die." He said at that moment, the ropes fell, and he ran through the woods all night, literally having these people chase him. And at one point, he found a road, a car magically stopped, and he took off. And he held fast to that promise until one night. And this is when the Blair Witch Project was out. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yeah, very familiar.
And he's like, "I need to go see this." I'm like, "I don't know, dude. That doesn't seem like a good thing." He goes, "It's going to help me with my testimony." I just remember that literally that next Sunday morning, my pastor at the church at the time spent the entire day into the evening praying deliverance, casting out demon after demon after demon from this guy. My point being is that there is a supernatural element to everything that we encounter. Might it be, Carl, that those are the very hooks that dig in, that lead us down this road? And once again, so there's a big shift in extremes here, but to quote the Bruce Springsteen song, "From little things, big things come."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the end game plan for Satan. And what would bring him more pride, which was his undoing, sin anyway, from the beginning, than to have the United States of America? And I had mentioned to you earlier in talking just slightly about the podcast that in the last 250 years, close to in the next 2 years, but that this country has sent more missionaries, has preached the gospel around the world than any other country, has fed the hungry, has mended the sick with mercy ships from churches and doctors. And what we've done in the name of Jesus and the kingdom of God, nothing would bring him more pride than this country being in the forefront to be the mouthpiece and proclaim all of this evil that is happening and bring it into the world. And, you know, I want to try, and I'm one person, and my goal is not to stop that. My goal is to please God. And if we focus one person at a time on what can we do today, Jesus, in our beautiful, intimate relationship that is alive and that is real, what can I do today, Jesus, to please you? What can I say to please you? How can I act? What would you like me to do? Where would you like me to go? These are individual questions that with one person, people would think won't make a difference. It's not going to change a thing, but we cannot just focus on fighting this fight that we can't win. Because even when we read about Daniel for 21 days, he didn't fight against a principality. It took angelic power to fight that fight. It took angelic power.
Yeah, the Prince spiritual, of Persia had
that. That is correct.
He had Gabriel.
And then had to send Michael to end up kicking his butt.
Right.
To end the whole thing. So what am I saying? God doesn't want you to fight those principalities because we can't. But what he does require us to do is follow the example of Daniel and be relentless. I can be relentless in what I can do, and I can be a fighter, and I can be ornery, and I can be tenacious, and I can be committed, and I can be never throw the towel in, never quit, but not in physically going to fight these warfares. But that isn't our job, because we can't do that. We can't win. But if we do our part, if we just commit together, bond together, unite together, encourage one another, like I said about this podcast, struggle together, fight together, learn together, grow together, inspire one another, and we commit to do this and fight this battle that way, God ushers in the forces, the angelic realm, the angelic beings that are at our beck and call, that are waiting. You know, I have to ask God to, okay, forgive me, because there have been years where angels have been unemployed because of my lack of prayer. And when you think about these angelic forces and powers and these beings that are just as real as anything, and all they're doing is waiting for sons and daughters of God to start fighting like Daniel did in that warfare, in that spiritual warfare, in that fasting, and in that prayer. We can literally usher that in and quit being so tolerant and comfortable. And I'm wondering, is it people don't know what's happening, or is it that it doesn't really bother them too much? I really almost feel like it's the second of the two. I really feel like they're not offended. I really feel like they're not troubled. I really feel like it's no big deal and it's not really that offensive to them. And if that's the case, we need to feed our soul and our spirit. We need to.
Well, I would like to agree with you on that. I was a young adult pastor on a church staff where the head pastor said this from the pulpit, and this was the moment
the light bulb went off in your head.
And he said it was about tithing. And he said, I guarantee if you tithe, God will bless you more abundantly than you'll ever know. Or if he doesn't, I will give you every penny back that you tithe. And a light bulb went on in my head, because I'm like, if you are tithing to get something, you're missing the point of the tithe. But that is so far removed from the heart of worship that is involved in tithing. I knew I had to leave, and I did. But we need to be very assured about something, because the premise of this episode is about consequences.
Yes.
Consequences of tolerance and tolerance of sin. And let me just say two shocking things. Hell will be unleashed on this earth. The Antichrist governmental system, the foundation is laid and they are moving forward. And as things escalate and we begin to wake up and fight for Christ's kingdom, for the kingdom of God, the children of darkness are going to raise up and rise up and fight for their kingdom as well.
Right.
Make no mistake, America is on a very short track right now. The whole purpose of everything that's happening, whether it be just the events that happened this weekend, it will be the last weekend as you're listening to this, where ISIS was blamed for attacking Russia, for a terrorist attack in Russia. Give me a break. ISIS was created under the Obama administration by the CIA and Mossad. Mm-hmm. We have untold people from those kinds of organizations all throughout. So whether Biden wins or Big Mike gets in or Gavin Newsom or even
whoever.
Trump,
yeah,
the goal is to end America, because right. Once America is over, I guarantee you the Antichrist system will be put into effect shortly after that. I promise you. There was an old quote that says, Otto von Bismarck, interesting enough, said that God has a special providence for fools, drunkards, and the United States of America. And I assure you, as sure as you are listening to this voice, America is on a short track to be not in existence for very long. And I'm sorry to say that, but everything is pointing that way. From the energy crisis, the food shortages, the overwhelming amount of people that have illegally came into our country. And this is a very, very loose estimation, but there have been so many people that have come into our country illegally since the Biden administration that they estimate over 30 congressional districts could be added to Congress. Mm-hmm. That is an invasion. Yes. We are literally
it's a takeover.
Yes, and with those people, they come the ability to, like we saw at this theater in Russia, mm-hmm. commit atrocities of murder like we've never seen. This is going to happen, whether Trump gets in, which I think it'll be worse if he does.
Sure,
I don't think it'll be
quicker. I think maybe, but
on the other hand, it's going to happen, and we have a very fine amount of time. And I hate being the bearer of bad news. I just do, but it's like you can save all the rations you want. You can have the ability to have endless energy you produce on your own. You can make all the purified water you have. You can be the greatest hunter. You can be better than Grizzly Adams. You could put Jeremiah Johnson to shame. And that is not going to prepare you for what is about to happen. And what is about to happen is Jesus said that he cuts the days short for his elect's sake because of what's about to happen, right?
Yes.
We're either in that or we're on the precipice right. of it. And you're not going to hear this from a lot of churches because it doesn't really pay the bills. And I'm sorry to word it that way, but
says that men will cry for rocks mm-hmm. to fall on them,
yes.
to crush them because of the time that is upon this earth. And, you know,
which is all a consequence of the toleration right. of sin.
And it really boils down to this, and then I'm done.
Yeah, pray us out when you're done.
Yeah, here's where things are, is that I have my mansion. It's waiting for me. And I have the street that my mansion's on. It's made of gold. I don't need to pursue the lust and the lure that Satan's using for these leaders of churches, big churches, mega churches. Even Christians, my time and energy has got to be put into the reality, recognizing the reality of eternity. And I don't fault people, Mr. William. I'm at this age now where I'm usually one of the oldest guys in the room I walk in. I don't know when it happened. It feels like it happened overnight.
Yeah, I'm right there with
yeah.
you.
Yeah, so when I walk into a room, generally, wherever that room is, I'm now one of either the oldest or one of. And I think that does come into play, into my thinking now. I was thinking about it today. Why did it take so long for me to enter this mindset that every, like, the decisions and the fun and the fulfillment and the joy and the entertainment and all just anything, just like all that stuff, if it isn't something that I feel good about in making my position secure with Jesus, if it isn't something that I feel good about in keeping my eternal reward secure, if it isn't something that does benefit me in eternal question, in eternal thinking, I don't find joy in it anymore. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I am disgusted with just about every single thing that this world has to offer. And, you know, I wasn't that way. So I don't want to be speaking this way and a younger Christian or somebody that may have just not heard this type of talk, or maybe their prayer life is developing. I don't want to beat them up. I don't want to, like, attack them for their way of thinking. I'm simply stating that in my life, where I am is different. And it truly is about being found faithful to Jesus and not jeopardizing and not losing my relationship in any way. And I just think tolerance is a trick. I think that it's something where we are made to not feel like we're aiding and abetting Satan because we don't feel that we're complicit, or because maybe we don't live that lifestyle. We feel good because all we see is so much evil that somehow we've compared ourselves, right, to that. And so we feel like we're secure with Jesus. But again, it's in pleasing him, in reading his word, and in developing relationship that we will be able to stand and to speak and to proclaim Jesus's word. And that really is all we need to do to not be tolerant. That's it. It's like, I don't have some in-depth plan. I mean, we didn't formulate some kind of end podcast strategy to teach people how to not be tolerant. I really feel inside like it is about seeking to please God, studying God's word, learning the best that you can do, trusting God, talking with the Holy Spirit and asking him to empower you. And then just simply, when the opportunity presents itself, we just simply proclaim God's word. We proclaim the truth. We live that life, and that life will speak for us. I really believe that's how we fight against tolerance and silence. And with that, I'll pray us out. Jesus, I thank you for this topic that you have introduced to us. And I pray that we would always listen to you and always seek your word and follow your direction and your leading. I pray that we would always seek to please you, because I want the desires that you have to infuse in me to become my desires. I want the way you see things to be the way I start to see things. And I pray this for every listener, for everyone that has tuned in to this podcast. God, I pray that you would reveal to them that there is this life that they can live that's deeper, that has a more personal, intimate, real, and alive relationship with you. It's not bound by denominations. It's boundless, this relationship. It's not defined by relations to doctrines of churches or denominations of man, but it is interpersonal and unique, directly and solely with you, the way that you wanted to write the law on our heart, Jesus. You wanted it to be a heart relationship, not a law relationship. I pray that this would open the eyes of someone, and I pray that they would respond. And it is about you getting glory. It's all glory to you, God. And Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you. That was a good one. I hope this is a good episode. I hope it challenges you. I definitely feel that, and I hope that it'll challenge you to remember that, you know, silence isn't golden. Often it's yellow. And
that was good.
Yeah, I didn't come with that quote, but nonetheless, I want to challenge you to share this episode. I know there's people that really would benefit from these things. I think they, you know, it's like Elijah after his showdown with Jezebel and the prophets of Baal. He's like, God, I'm the only person. He's like, nah, dude, there's like 7,000 more. Let's all realize that. And you have a hand in that by sharing. So we want to thank you for doing that. And you can find us anywhere podcasts are, Flawcast, CLE, Apple, Google Play, Spotify, Breaker, Anchor.fm. We're on the video platform Rumble under Flawed Inc. You can find us on the Project Mockingbird social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're on Gab and Getter, all under Flawed link in the description below. There is a link to pick up a copy of my books, Miss Heart of Man Repair Manual. And our email is flawedincle@gmail.com. Send any questions, comments, or concerns that way. But that being said, we'll talk to you guys next week.